I'll be speaking to you on the subject of the Holy Spirit, the divine teacher. We'll use John 14, verses 15 through 31 for our starting text. There'll be several references that we will use and try to encourage you tonight in your Bible study, and hopefully that you and I both will realize that we do have a real major help in our lives in Bible study, that we can understand a whole lot more than we might think that we can, because there is a teacher that is quite capable, and I want to share that with you tonight. But let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful again tonight for this privilege that's ours to just this moment come before the throne of grace and accept our thanks for little Carly Alexis. I pray that you'll bless this newborn, and Father, let her survive, and bless the mom tonight and encourage both of them together in this sense, that the mom would be encouraged now and the baby would understand later just what a miracle she is. I pray that you'll accept our thanks, and then we want to petition the throne of grace for this message tonight. Encourage us in the study and glorify Jesus Christ our Lord, for I pray in his name. Amen. All right, let me find John chapter 14 and we'll read the text. Then we will endeavor to give you some thoughts that I believe will help you tonight. We've got another study or two on the person of the Holy Spirit tonight, I mentioned it tonight, so that in the next few weeks we'll be continuing to look into this subject. I think it's so neglected a subject sometimes that we ought to be ashamed of ourselves for not teaching on this precious person and a comforter that our Lord Jesus Christ promised to his own before he left this world, and whom he did send after he left this world. But let's look into John chapter 14 and begin with verse 15 and read on through verse 31. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, yet are being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk with you or much with you, but for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And thus we have the text tonight, with our focus primarily upon the subject or the thought that there is one who is going to come at the bidding of Jesus Christ and God the Father to take up his abode in us, and not only to comfort us, but to instruct us, to teach us all things. And I am persuaded that there is one that can teach us. Now, that does not negate good, godly Bible teaching, nor preaching. Those are gifts to us today, people that are enabled to preach, to teach, to instruct us, and to help us. But I would say to you that from a scriptural standpoint, there is no excuse for not knowing the Bible. Now, I understand that somebody might not be able to read as well as another. And there would be some sense of maybe learning and even physical limitations. But the same Holy Spirit that can instruct the most learned can also instruct the most simple. And you and I tonight have one of the great privileges of having within us, abiding within us, a teacher. One that can take the Word of God and open it to us tonight, so that we can see some of the most precious things that are there for us. We'll notice in John chapter 14 in verse 17 that he is called the Spirit of Truth. Now, just that thought in and of itself for a moment, the Spirit of Truth. Now, he knows all truth then if he's the Spirit of Truth. And that is something that would be unheard of were it not that he was divine or God and another comforter. You realize that when the Lord said he would send another comforter, he was talking of one that would be of the same essence. It would not be one lesser. But there is a harmony, and the doctrine of the Trinity is of the utmost importance. I mean, I suppose every time I mention a doctrine, I always say, well, this is of the utmost importance, and it is tonight, because we need doctrine tonight. We need to know some things. Do you realize that probably about 3/4 of the people that would be surveyed in the United States of America, maybe a higher percentage than 75%, could not even name the four Gospels tonight if they were called upon to do so. They lack. So they don't know then anything to speak of about God. There's a lot of debate, but I want you to know the truth that the Bible teaches that God is one, yet he is three persons. And you can work on that all day and all night and the next day, and you'll not explain it to everybody's satisfaction. And truth is that there's not one to really explain it except God himself, and that would be limited to us because of the lack of our capacity. But the truth of the matter is that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he knows all truth, and he shall teach all things. Wouldn't it be nice tonight to have a Bible teacher that could readily speak on any subject of the Bible? And I'll have to be the first to admit that there are limitations. I try to give an answer whenever there's a question that is posed. Whenever we deal with the Sunday school, I try to leave some time at the end of our class. It's just the way I like to work things, that we don't leave the class just totally open for a debate in the middle. There's a couple reasons why. One, I need an out. Sometimes I'll need to say, well, we're just out of time, even though it might be 20 minutes still, because I don't have an answer at that moment. But do you realize that the Holy Spirit could readily speak on any subject in this Bible, any doctrine of this Bible, and be absolutely correct because he is the Spirit of truth? And not only that, but as he teaches even us, he can bring all things to our remembrance. In other words, he can dig down into the recesses of our heart and of our mind and give us some things that we might have hidden there years ago. It is important to hide the word in our hearts that we might not sin against the Lord. And the Spirit of God can take those things that might have been there for quite some time and bring them to mind in the right opportunity that is given to us. So we want to understand that we're talking about one who is the divine teacher, if you please, and the Spirit of truth, and can speak readily upon any subject that he might need to speak upon to our hearts and to our mind. Now, the second thing I want us to deal with tonight as we think about the Holy Spirit, the divine teacher, and that's basically in this context, it's a promise to us as believers, is that of the Holy Spirit's textbook. What's he going to use as a textbook? It's true that there's a lot of books that have been written. And can I just take a minute and be mean? Most of the stuff that's written today is nothing but trash. I want you to know that. There are very few men today that are writing with real capacity and ability. Most of it is very shallow at the best, and it always will leave you lacking and wondering what really a scripture means. The commentaries today, by and large, and I don't even call them commentaries because they're not commentaries. They are actually more of just somebody's basic opinion, and sometimes it's not even opinion. It just seems to be that they reach way up on the wall and find something and write it that they might sell a book. I do like to go back sometimes to those of bygone days that can take and have taken a pen in hand and given us good commentaries that will instruct us and help us. But from a human standpoint, there are some men that have done a good job But the Holy Spirit has a textbook that he can use and that we really need in our lives. And, of course, that is the Scriptures. That's the textbook that the Holy Spirit's going to use. He's not going to see what Charles Haddon Spurgeon had to say about a subject. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of my favorites as far as a book to read. There's a couple of reasons why. First of all, he's got some depth to him. Second thing is, I can take one of his outlines and use it. I'll give you some trade secrets, I guess, if we want to call it a trade. There'll be now and then a person that you can take their outline and it just fits you. I mean, that's true in life. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon got some of the best outlines. If you can ever get a set of his Bible outlines, I'd recommend you get them. The subject that he'll give, he'll give you an outline that you can work with. I'm not saying just be a parrot and parrot everything that he said, but he'll give you an outline and gives you the skeleton, put some meat on the skeleton, and use it if you can. I'd be embarrassed if I had written an outline and I said to somebody, you can't use it, even though it might fit you. I would hope that they'd have enough sense to use it, not even ask me if they could use it. Because, first of all, it would be something that I'd had to get at least from God to start with, and others probably as well. But the Holy Spirit does have a textbook. Let me remind you that the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good work. And so there is a book that the Holy Spirit will use. And you can get a hold of one of them. If you don't have one, we'd be glad to give you one. In fact, there was a fellow walked out the door today and I'd given him one Bible to send to his son. Well, when he got it, he began to read it himself. And I said, well, go get another one, send to your son. Keep that one. We'll do our best to see that folks get in hand the Scriptures because it's the textbook of the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And men, holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. This same Holy Spirit moved these men to write these things, so we're talking about a textbook that he's authored. And I've always said that a textbook can be taught best by the author of that book. If I were going to look into history and I was going to use a textbook, I'd love to hear the author himself teach that textbook. And I have before me a Bible tonight that the Holy Spirit moved upon God, or moved upon these men as God, to write these passages. And he used 40 or over, it may have been 41 authors, different authors, at various times with varied educations, with all the limitation that goes with humanity. And yet he gave to us a perfect book, the Bible, tonight. And so we do have a textbook that the Holy Spirit is going to use in his teaching. Now, let's look for a moment at the nature of the Bible. Well, we'll not turn to it, but I would recommend you write it down and look into it. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16 sometime, and you'll find out that this is a book that the world will never understand. You've heard it. I've heard it. And fellas that really want to sell these new versions of the Bible will say, we're trying to get a Bible that everybody can understand. Well, if you get one that everybody can understand, it's not going to be a Bible. It's not going to be God's Word. I want you to know that, because this book is a spiritual book, and it has to be spiritually discerned. If it's not understood by the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, then I'd be very leery of that particular version tonight, because it's a spiritual book. And a natural man cannot. The Bible said he cannot. He said he probably won't. It didn't say that. It said he cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. So we have then a book that has to be open to our hearts and our minds by the precious person of the Holy Spirit. The natural man cannot receive it. I'll give you an example. The Ethiopian eunuch, we've used him time and again as a text in Acts chapter 8 to teach on baptism and some other things, obedience that we'd see in Philip, various things that relate to his conversion experience. But whenever Philip joined himself to that chariot and he heard him read Isaiah the prophet and said to him, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man guide me?" And that man that was going to guide him could not be just any old fellow that came along. Do you realize that every drunk in town pretty well can quote for you a little wine for your stomach's sake? That's the truth. They'll find something that'll fit their desire and their need of the moment and justify what they're doing. But that's not what we're looking for. But this Ethiopian eunuch said, "How can I except some man guide me?" And the Bible said that Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, why do you do that? And how do you do that? By the enabling and lightning of the Holy Spirit. Because we'd go back a couple of chapters and we'll find out that Philip was one of those that was chosen by the church to be the divider or the administrator of the physical goods and needs of that church. And one of the requirements was that he be full of the Holy Ghost. So I present to you tonight that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. In fact, Peter said that they'll do his own scriptures that he was writing at the time, just like they did those that Brother Paul had written, that they'll rest to their own destruction. In other words, they'll just twist them and twist them and twist them until you wouldn't recognize it as a Bible doctrine. You don't have to search very far till you'll find that folks have twisted the Word of God. They rested or just twisted it till it never means even close to what the Bible started out to mean. I mean, we can name the cults. I have no confidence in a Jehovah's Witness. I have no confidence in a Mormon. Because they have wrestled the scriptures, they've made them mean everything but what they do. Do you realize, and recently there was a fella up in Utah that was to be executed and they gave him the choice, which is rare for any, and in fact I think Utah's the only state that will give you the option of being hanged or shot by a firing squad. He chose the firing squad. Why? Because he wanted to die quickly. Well, I'll tell you what, you die pretty quickly when they hang you. If a hangman really knows what he's doing and makes the knot right, puts it in the right place, it'll pop your neck and you won't even know what went on. And not to be gruesome, but one of the debates about hanging was, you know, over in Iraq, they hung one of those fellas and it jerked his head off, hit the end of the rope. So that was pretty sudden death. Probably just about as fast as a bullet. But he chose it because he had been taught that the only way to redeem himself from his waywardness was to shed his own blood, or for his own blood to be shed. You can't do that in hanging if you don't have something drastic to happen in a hanging. You'll not shed that blood. But if you have a firing squad to shoot you in the chest, around in the heart area, then your blood will be shed, and thus he would be redeemed. And he was taught that by that church, the Mormons. Do I believe that? No. I don't have any confidence in them. I just, I'll give you that tonight. But I'll come even farther and closer to home. There have been some men that had exposure to truth that have perverted it and have taught baptismal regeneration. You don't have to go very far down the street to find one of them either. And just a lot of others that will have a system of works that they have embraced, even though they were exposed to the truth somewhere in their lives. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He'll wrestle them around until it means something entirely different, and that person will not even be able to come to faith in Christ. Men will read and study the Bible with preconceived ideas. I've been asked often, well, how can a man read the Bible all of his life and not be saved? And I used to be troubled by that until it was something I believe that God gave me some insight into. Do you realize that if you read this Bible with a preconceived idea, you're looking for something to justify what you believe rather than seeking the truth? And you'll find something to justify what you believed instead of finding the truth. So men will study the Bible with a preconceived idea, and they'll never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. There's a lot of preachers today that stand in the pulpits of this land that they absolutely know nothing of Jesus Christ and His saving grace. Now I'm wondering about more of them all along. I mean, it's tragic. It's heartrending to think that folks would dedicate themselves to a life, give their bodies to be burned, so forth, as Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians, and yet know nothing of Jesus Christ and His saving grace. I'll give you that, and we'll stop. But they'll read with a preconceived idea, and they'll do their best to justify baptismal regeneration. The Catholics do the best that they can to prove that point. Salvation by works. There'll be various churches that will advocate that and build a system and work to justify that system. And they'll do just about anything to disprove the grace of God, because that's contrary to human nature. It is a spiritually discerned book that we have before us tonight. Therefore, the textbook that the Holy Spirit's going to use is the one that He authored, and the natural man cannot receive, but man, by enabling of the Spirit of God, can. Now, third point. Born-again believers are the Holy Spirit's pupils. You talk about a good school. Now, I appreciate the school that I went to up in Arlington. I appreciate even the courses that I've been able to look into as of late. They're good courses. I believe some godly men that are doing their best at times to teach. I dearly love some of the professors that I had, and others I got back. I always loved Dr. George Norris. He had a unique way about it. He liked me for some reason or another, and it showed up in my grades. I have to be honest about that. I wasn't nearly that smart. He said, now guys, most of the time, he said, I'll tell you how your grades come about. He said, I look out that window and I see a oak tree out there, and said, depends on how that leaf falls. That's going to pretty well determine your grade. And he convinced me of it, Doug. He really did. But I'm grateful for those men. I didn't always agree with every point that they brought, but I appreciated old Dr. Luther Peake. I appreciated the other men that taught me in that particular class. I mean, they were better teachers than I was pupil. I'll say that for their benefit. And yet I appreciate them tonight. I'm grateful for them. But I want you to know I'm thankful that there is a teacher that has taken me as his pupil, and he's able to teach me and make me aware of some things that I need to know tonight. Now, the Holy Spirit deals with the world, the Bible said he convicts the world or convinces the world of sin. In other words, that's the ministry he's going to perform to the unsaved. He's not going to give the deep insight into the book of Revelation or the book of Daniel or even other books that we don't consider nearly as deep or, futuristic as those books are. But I want you to know that as he works with the world, he'll convict them of their need of Jesus Christ as Savior because of their sinful, lost estate. He gives life to the dead. That's what he does as he deals in the life of an unsaved man. But he instructs the believer. And so we say tonight that, again, believers are the Holy Spirit's pupil. The believers are the Holy Spirit's pupils. Now, as a pupil of the Holy Spirit, one in his school, he instills the truth into the human mind. And there's something happens when he does. It begins to appear as it is the truth in our minds. I don't have any trouble believing the truth of the virgin birth tonight. I don't have any trouble believing in the physical second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. I don't have any trouble believing in a thousand-year reign of Christ that's going to be here on earth, because it's in this book and the Spirit of God has taught me that that's true. So I don't have any trouble with that. But he instills in the human mind in such a way that it begins to appear and does appear as truth. And the believer embraces it is as it is the truth, and it powerfully influences thought and conduct. Keep those two thoughts in mind. The thought itself. In other words, we think right because the Bible has been opened to us and we know how we ought to think. And then it affects our conduct. It's down in the heart and therefore it does something in our lives. So we then become then the students of the Bible taught by the Spirit of God tonight. Yeah, let me draw a 3-point conclusion and then we'll let you go. Give you a minute or two tonight. There's no excuse for the believer not to understand the Bible. I'm not saying you're going to necessarily be somebody that would want to stand in a college setting because God may not call you to that. But you can understand the Bible. I mentioned my mother the other day and even again this morning, but I'm grateful for a mother that believed the book. And she had a 5th grade education. She believed the book. And I appreciate that tonight. So there's no excuse for a believer not to understand the Bible. The Holy Spirit establishes direct connection between the mind of man and the mind of God. Now get that tonight as a conclusion to this thought of the Holy Spirit, the divine teacher. The Holy Spirit establishes direct connection between the mind of man and the mind of God. And having the Spirit of God, Christians do understand the revelation of God. He is the divine teacher. He's the best teacher, and he'll always be the best teacher for believers today. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. I'll be available to you after the service if there's a need in your life. Our Father, thank you again for this time to open the Word of God, to study together. And Lord, help us to appreciate that person, the Holy Spirit, that can take this book and make it real to us and bless us. And Father, help us to use this truth, this knowledge that's given, to the glory of Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us, for I pray in His name. Amen. You're dismissed.